So today we're going to be looking at meditating on the word. Meditating on the word. Now, someone might ask, come on, you know, give us something slightly theologically deeper, like tell us what the three horsemen mean in, or the seven horsemen in Revelations. Tell us something deep, something earth-shaking, so that by the time I've left here today, I know that yes, I have. And that's great, but I've come to realize that it's the really simple things that the Bible tells us to do, or that the Bible explains, that are really transforming. Or should I say, they seem to be, well, everything in the Bible reading is transforming, but it's those seemingly simple things that have such a strong ability to transform our lives. And so today we're just going to be looking at one of those things, which is meditating on the Word of God. I'm going to look at four things today. We'll look at what is biblical meditation. We'll look at what's the difference between memorizing scripture and meditating on scripture. Then the third thing we'll look at is, what does meditation really do in our lives as Christians? Then lastly, we'll look at, how do I meditate? You know, how do I, you know, give me a practical example of how I do that. Now, the Bible speaks a lot about meditating on the Word of God, focusing on the Word of God. If you look at, you don't have to turn there, Joshua chapter 1, you look at Psalm 119, and you know, across the Bible, you will have come across the term meditate on the Word, meditate on the Word. What does that really mean? Now, we'll look at a number of things as I've explained, or as I've mentioned earlier today. Now, the first thing we want to look at is, what is biblical meditation? Then after that, I'll tell us what it isn't. Now, the goal of biblical meditation is to internalize, I've written a definition here, and to personalize the scripture so that its truths can affect how we think, our attitudes, how we live, and our actions. So what meditation does is this. It is looking at a Bible passage, or looking at a story in the Bible, and taking that story or that portion of scripture in the Bible and bringing it alive by the Holy Spirit so that it affects your life. So it's taking the word out of the context of the written word that we have here and bringing it to the place where the word changes you, where the word speaks to you, where the word has an impact on your life. That's what meditation is. And we'll look at how we do that. Now, I'm just going to put PS here. Anytime we hear the word meditate, well, not anytime, but sometimes when you hear the word meditation, what might come to one's mind is something called, something that Buddhists do. You'll have seen pictures around where people say, okay, this is a meditational class. And you see people sitting down in the, you know, in the Buddhist position, and they're trying to clear their minds. Now, what that is called, that's called transcendental meditation. Now, transcendental meditation is not biblical meditation. Now, the goal of transcendental meditation, it's called TM, that is practiced in a lot of the Eastern religions, like, you know, Buddhism, or, you know, in yoga and all these Eastern-based religions, is called TM, transcendental meditation. And the goal of that, they say, is they try and empty their minds of all things so that they can become one with nature and all that. So it's totally different from the Christian biblical form of meditation. So it's important that we don't mix that up. So the Eastern TM meditation is a process where they try and clear their minds, and they take a number of words and just repeat those words till they're in a trance, or maybe a state that they call Nirvana or something, where they're one. That's not what Christian meditation is about. Christian meditation is not clearing your mind or trying to empty your mind. No, we don't do that in Christian meditation. It's totally different. So biblical meditation is trying to internalize the Word of God into your hearts, so that it makes a difference. Now, the second thing we're going to look at is this. What is the difference between scripture memorization and meditation? Or let me add another one in there. What's the difference between reading the Bible, memorizing Bible scriptures, and meditation? Those are completely different things. You know, there are people who have read the Bible end to end. You could actually read the Bible end to end, or take a book and just read it regularly, you know, just open it, read the story in it, you know, and you know, try and understand it. That's reading the Bible. You could go a step further, and this is good, where you say, you know what, I want to be able to quote scriptures at 2 seconds per minute. No, at the rate of one scripture for every 2 seconds. And you memorize so many scriptures and you become like the scripture person, where we say, oh, what's that scripture? And we just point in that direction and we just get like 30 scriptures. Pa, 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 pa. Acts 1, Acts 2. Because you've memorized the scriptures. Now, that's good. But again, that's not biblical meditation. Now, when you read the Bible, you're reading it, one reads it informationally. Okay, this is good. Let me understand what this is saying. When you memorize scripture, you might do that, but memorization of scripture stays in your mind. Do you understand? So what that means, I can quote a number of scriptures here, but I just have them off head. It's like what you do with your studies. If you're studying for an exam and you just memorize the, you know, it's like, oh, zap, 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 memorize and all that. It stays in your mind. But meditating on the scripture goes beyond your mind. It goes beyond your mind into your heart. Do you understand? It goes beyond your mind and into your heart. And the Bible tells us that your actions, the things that you do, Jesus told us in the book of Matthew, come out of your heart. Your heart is who you really are. Your heart is the core of you. You understand what I mean? So Jesus was telling us in the book of Matthew that, don't worry, I'm just referring to it, that out of the heart of a man comes evil or good. Everything that you do, that a man does or a woman does, it comes from their heart. It is that part of you that forms who you are, that informs who you are. Do you understand what I mean? And that is where biblical meditation touches. So what am I saying here? In really getting a hold of the Bible, in really seeing how we can change or how we can really know God more, reading the Bible is good, we should. Memorizing scripture is good, we should, you know, as much as we can. But if we really want to change, if we want to really encounter God, then we need to switch to meditating on the word. We'll see how we do that in a minute. Now, I'm just going to look at, if we look at, again, the fact that biblical meditation is different from memorization. If you look at Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Are we there? It says, Jesus said to them, Luke chapter 6, verse 45. There's no 45. Okay. So, as we're looking at earlier, Jesus said something. He said, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So, this tells us that, as I was referring to earlier, everything that we are is in a part of our life called your heart. And that's where biblical meditation affects. And Jesus said here that it is what is in a man's heart or a woman's heart that comes out. Do you understand? It's what's in a man's heart or a woman's heart that comes out. If you look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, still looking at, you know, your heart, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. It says, all a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. Again, referring to the fact that someone might be doing something, you might be behaving in a particular way, you might be doing things, but really, God looks at our heart. So you could have someone who is saying something to you, but really, their thinking and their, you know, what is in their heart is different from what they're actually saying. So we're seeing that the heart is the core of what we are. Now, I want to go to what are some of the things that meditation does in the life of a Christian. I'll look at three things. What are the things that biblical meditation, what does it do to you as a Christian? Why should you bother doing it? Why should you bother meditating on the word? We'll look at some of those things. Now, the first thing I want to look at is, if you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The first thing that meditation does in the life of a Christian is that it changes the way you think, it changes your attitude, and it changes you as well. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." So here, the Bible begins to tell us that there is something that we need to do. It says we should not conform to the pattern of the world, but we should renew our mind. Now, how do we renew our mind? How do we begin to change? It is by the word of God. So what happens is this. As a Christian, you are not born a Christian. You grew up and you picked up so many things along the way. Now that you're a Christian, or since you became a Christian, you will still have those things in your life. That's why you wonder. Some people say, hang on, am I sure I'm a Christian? Why am I still thinking like this? Why am I don't feel different. Do you understand? The reason is that when you become a Christian, your spirit changes, you're born again, but your mind hasn't changed yet. And it is by renewing your mind that you begin to see the transformation in your life. How do you do that? You do that by the word of God, by meditating on the word of God. So if you look at Psalm 1, the whole of Psalm 1, saying that meditating on the scriptures, it changes our ways, our attitude in such a way that it's not really obvious. Psalm 1, the whole of Psalm 1. Not just verse 1. So it begins to say something. Okay, I think I'll open my Bible here instead of. All right, I'm going to open Psalm 1, then I'll just read it from there. It says in Psalm 1, I'll read from verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." But verse 2 says, "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." It says, "That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." It says, verse 4, "Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." So if we go to verse 1 to 3, and it tells us something here, verse 1 to 3. And the first part of this portion of scripture tells us how our lives are before we became born again, and how your life might be, even though you're born again, but you need to do something about it. So it says here, there are three things that distinguish our lives here. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers." The first one looks at counsel of the wicked. Now, counsel of the wicked here means a way of thinking. There is a way that we would, if now when one is not a Christian, that you would think your worldview is not really a Christian worldview before you become born again. Now, what does that mean? The counsel of the wicked. So, say for example, if you know previously someone came to you and they said, you know, they were like really rude to you, and they even, you know, said something that was not very nice to you. In the past, maybe before you became a Christian, your response in that circumstance would have been to give them a slap. I know you guys don't do that kind of thing. You're too calm. Your response might have been, you know, you're talking to me like that, slap straight away. And if you're one of those students of judo and all those boxing things, you might even progress and give them a punch. Because your way of thinking is, you know, it's the counsel of the wicked, it's the counsel of the world. That's your response. But now that you're a Christian, you don't know that. Do you know that you could still be doing that? Because it's like, what's the big deal? Someone, I'm a Christian, that's fine. Someone is rude to me, I should give them a slap. That's the counsel of the wicked. That means your thinking is still along those lines. Now, he now says something else about standing in the way of sinners. Now, standing in the way of sinners, again, is our lifestyle. You know, your lifestyle. So maybe before you were a Christian, your lifestyle was really, you know, it was like, you know, you left home on Friday night and nobody saw you till Sunday night. You know, you visited all the nightclubs, all the pubs. In fact, nobody even knows where you are. They just say on Friday night, see you, and they don't see you till Sunday night. Do you understand? So that's the lifestyle of, you know, a few people. Again, the first one is looking at our way of thinking, then the other one is our lifestyle. Now, the third one is, nor does it sit in the seat of mockers. Now, that begins to look at our attitude in life. And you know what? Just take an example. If you are having, you see like people having a conversation, just gathered in a group somewhere, and you sample 10 conversations, you realize that I'll be very shocked if some of those conversations do not have very negative connotations in them. One of them, the conversations might be, you know what? These men are really, really bad. Then, how do women say? The conversation being like, men, if it was women don't talk like that. This is just an example. Men are really bad. They're this, they're this, they're that. That's one conversation. Another conversation is, you know what? So this is saying that that's sitting in the seat of mockers. So that is saying that our natural disposition in conversation is that. So the Bible says that in order to change your, as a Christian, to remove yourself from that kind of lifestyle, to remove yourself from that kind of attitude, to remove yourself from thinking in a particular way, what does the Bible recommend? Does the Bible say you should fast and pray? No. Does the Bible say you should... The Bible says something that is so simple that you can do. And it says here, he delights in the law of the Lord, and on the law he meditates day and night. So if any Christian wants to change, it is not a forceful thing. It's not a commando move where you say, you know what, I'm rolling up my sleeves and by next week my whole life will have changed because I'm, you know, with gritted teeth, I'm going to change. And you know, have all these resolutions that I'm not going to do this anymore. Those are good. But that's hard. The Bible doesn't say we should do it that way. The Bible just recommends and tells us that if you want to change, if you want to see real change in your life, meditate on the Word of God and you will change. And you will change. So meditating on the Word of God changes our hearts. It changes ourselves as well. It changes our view about God, helps us to know God more. Now, the second thing that meditation does is this. Meditation helps you and I to hear the Word of God, to hear the voice of God. What do I mean by that? If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that, focusing on the first part, that all scripture is God-breathed. Do you know that if you want to begin to really hear God speak to you, now when I mean God speaking to you, I'm talking about God speaking to you very clearly about different areas in your life. Now, for example, maybe you want to move somewhere, or you have two job offers, or something is happening, and you're not quite sure what you should do. So this isn't a case of, something that's clearly written in the Bible. You know, Bible says we should love one another, yeah? So if someone is rude to you, you know, you can use that scripture to say, okay, I think I should be nice to this person because Bible says so. Now, I'm not talking about that. That's standard. I'm talking about you need to make a decision, or something is happening next week. You don't quite know what to do. You don't know what approach to take. Do you understand? If you begin to meditate on the word, you will get to the point where the word that you meditate on will speak to you. So it will seem as if it's God coming out of the Bible and standing by you and instructing you. Now, that's what meditation does. For me, this happens to me quite a bit, because that's a lot of times that's how God speaks to me. And what do I mean by that? I remember there was a time that, I think a few months ago, and I was reading the Bible, I was meditating on it, and I just got a sense that God was telling me that, you know what, in this particular, concerning this particular thing, in about a week or two, you're going to have trouble in this area, but not a problem at all. And at that point, I was like, really? I mean, this is all going cool. This is well. I mean, why should I have trouble? And I just said, you know what, God, you know, I don't really need trouble in this area. But God just told me through that meditation that you will have trouble in this particular area, but don't worry about it. And lo and behold, trouble came. But because God had already, you know, told me about it, I just knew that it was a matter of time and it would expire. Do you understand what I mean? So that happens that way as well. Or there are times that, you know, you're praying about something and God will tell you that this thing you're praying about, this is what's going to happen. I've answered this prayer. For this one, you still need to wait a bit. Or regarding this person, this is what is going to happen to them. This is what they're praying about. All from meditating on the word. Do you understand what I mean? So the way that happens is that the word will come out, and it's like suddenly you get a sense that God is actually speaking to you. And the way you will know eventually is when, by practice, you know, these things begin to happen to you. So God can speak to us that way as well. Now, the third thing that meditation does, and I'll jump to the next one after that about how we meditate. The third thing that meditation does is this: we can gain strength and peace from the word of God. If you look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says there, is a popular scripture that we, it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. If you look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. So it says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. So what does meditation do? Meditation can bring you from a place where your heart is troubled. Say, for example, you know, there's so many things going on around you. You're tired, you're stressed, or you're even physically tired. Do you know that if you meditate on the word of God, the word of God can inject you with strength? The word of God can calm your mind down and calm your heart down. And I don't know how to explain it really, but it's as if you I don't say it's like an energy, you know, when for you guys that do drink all these energy boosters, maybe you're like low in the office, it's like 1 o'clock. I remember in one office that I used to work, there were guys who had these energy boosters, Red Bull or something. And this guy had them lined up in the fridge. And you just sit there, maybe around 1, 4 and all that. They're going into the fridge and it's like opening one Red Bull and drinking the energy booster. And there's like Popeye the Sailor. They've eaten their spinach and they're all geared up. Do you get what I mean? And it's like the tiredness goes away. Do you know that the Word of God can do that in your life as well? Where you meditate on it and it gives you energy, it calms you down in that same way as well. And that's why we're reading that. It says, as you focus your heart on the Word of God, God will keep your heart in peace. That means everything around you might be going haywire, but God will give you strength through the Word. So, looking at that, so these are the things that meditation, you know, will do. Meditation will change your life and transform you into what God wants you to be. God can speak through you or speak to you as you meditate. And meditating on the Word gives us strength as well. Now, the last thing I'll just mention in just the next couple of minutes is, how do I meditate? How do I meditate? I'll rush through this. The first one is believing that meditating on the Word of God will actually transform you and that God will speak to you. You don't have to go there. And that's from the book of Hebrews chapter, you can go there actually, 11 verse 6. You need to just have a simple trust that meditating on the Word of God will do what God says it will do. It will transform you. You will begin to hear God speak to you through the Word and it will strengthen you. So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So first you must believe that meditation will change your life, meditating on the Word of God, and that God will speak to you through that as well. The second thing is this, how do I meditate? So you've established that God will, you know, use it to change you. You need to take time out to read and meditate on the Word of God. It's not something that you'll be able to do effectively when you're, you know, running up and down. You need to, you know, give this some time. You need to take time out. Even if it's a couple of, you know, even if it's a short amount of time in the morning or in the afternoon or wherever you can find time to really meditate on God's Word. So taking time out. If you look at Mark chapter 1:35, you can note it. Luke chapter 5 verse 6, Matthew chapter 6 verse 6. And you know, Jesus took time, even Jesus who was God while he was on earth, he took time to spend, to pray, to, you know, really spend time in God's Word. So that's one thing. Now, how do you actually do the act of meditation or meditating on the Word of God? I'll just rush through a number of things here. So you take a portion of scripture, for example, maybe Psalm 1, and you're, as we read then, and it's, you know, it's quite plain, it says, you know, those, you know, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or what's the other one? So you take that portion of scripture and you say to yourself, what does this really mean? Then you begin to really think about it. You put yourself in that particular circumstance and you're like, what does it mean taking counsel? You know, let's look at Psalm 1, verse 1. What does it really mean? Then you begin to actually converse with the Word. What does it mean to walk in the counsel of the wicked? What is the counsel of the wicked? What does that mean? Who is wicked? What does counsel mean? Does that mean taking, what, you know, okay, counsel is, okay, is taking someone's advice. All right, have I been taking advice from people who are not, who we could consider as wicked? How has that affected me? What kind of decisions have I taken in the past? Where has that landed me? You know, or stand in the way of sinners? Do you understand? You take that and you sit back and you begin to think about what you've, you know, what this means. You begin to put yourself in the context of that word. Do you understand? And as you do that, something will begin to happen to you. The Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you. Now, you might begin to, in some instances, some of the thoughts that you will get will be your own thoughts. But if you do it long enough, something will begin to happen. As you ask yourself a question concerning the word, the Holy Spirit will respond to you in that word. Do you understand what I mean? Now, and I'll round up with this. When I became a Christian a while ago, there was someone, I was in this group, I was an usher in this church, and we used to have this weekly Bible study things. And something really struck me. There was this lady that came and they said, okay, share the scriptures for 15 minutes or something. And she opened the Bible and she now took a number of verses. Maybe for example, like this one. And she read it. Everybody read it. I read it. And she began to explain what it meant. And what struck me was this. How can someone take one verse of scripture? I mean, I'm reading the same Bible. You're reading the same Bible. How are you able to explain it this way? Who taught you how to do this kind of stuff? Do you understand what I mean? I don't know if you guys wonder that sometimes we take a Bible scripture, one verse, and we speak on it for 30 minutes. And you're wondering, I mean, come on. Where did that come from? Do you understand? Where did that come from? It came from meditation. It brings you to the place where the word comes alive. Do you understand? The word comes alive so that you can explain it to people. But not only that, in your life, it will seem as if God himself has come from that word and he's standing right beside you and he's explaining what it means. And the Holy Spirit is saying, this is what this means. And you're like, oh, is that what that means? I never knew. Do you understand what I mean? That's what meditation does. So why I'm telling you, why I'm, you know, harping on this is the fact that with meditation, God can transform your life. God can tell you things that will happen. God can explain certain things in your own life that, you know, you never knew. God can really speak to you and I through the word. Do you understand what I mean? Amen. Let's just pray.